31.
Hope lives of the purified, lives of the free, I'm blood in the crimson tide. Hope evermore be, o'er sin and amendment day. Exulting I stand, and pour to the Prince of love. Nailed in his hand, oh, sting of his mighty love. Sting of his mighty love. Sting of his mighty love. Mighty to save. Hope lives of the purified, Jesus is mine. No longer in dread condemned. Nation, I'm mine. In conscious salvation, I'm. Sting of his grace to live, death upon me love. Smiles on his face. Oh, sting of his mighty love. Sting of his mighty love. Sting of his mighty love. Mighty to save. Hope lives of the purified, lives of the pure. No wound hath a soul that is. Blood cannot cure. No sorrow hath ever made. Sweetly my rest, no tears, but they cried them all. Jesus is rest. Oh, sting of his mighty love. Sting of his mighty love. Sting of his mighty love. Mighty to save. Hope Jesus the crucified, thee will I sing. My blessed Redeemer mine. God and my King. My soul filled with rapture shall, shall o'er the grave and triumph in death and love. Mighty to save. Oh, sting of his mighty love. Sting of his mighty love. Sting of his mighty love. Mighty to save.
There's lesson 410. Nobody's got 410. 410, turn to the tune of 417.
Bless Jesus in my
7:14.
I am a poor, wayfaring stranger, while traveling through this world of woe. Yet there's no sickness or danger in that bright world to which I go.
I can't think of the other one right now.
Do not I love thee, O my Lord, be, O my heart.
267. 267.
My soul lives on.
Oh! I don't like to be the person to interrupt singing like that. So the best thing I can do is read some scripture. In Zechariah chapter 8, as God has blessed his people Israel to come out of bondage and to have the blessing of being able to rebuild the temple, he says in chapter 8, verse 3, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion." Can you imagine what that must have been like, right? "I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts." It's marvelous in our eyes at Fuller's Chapel to have each and every one of you here. We're encouraged with such a good, strong crowd on a Friday night. It's marvelous in our eyes to have you here. But it's more important that it's marvelous in the eyes of the Lord that he's got a people, a remnant of his people, that are willing to turn away from anything else that could have distracted on a Friday night, turn aside from all those things, and be in his house. It's marvelous in our eyes. The sight of seeing you is marvelous in our eyes. But it's far more marvelous in the eyes of the Lord, and that's much more important. Thank you for being here. We're so glad that you're here. And thankful for all of our visitation. Thankful for our preach brethren that are here. I've asked Phil and Press to ask Brother Travis Brown to come and speak for us first. If Brother Travis has ever been here before, I don't know about that. It would have been before my time here. But we're thankful the Lord put it upon his heart to come and be with us. And then to be followed by Brother Danny, who obviously we've invited to come preach for us this weekend. Having a good crowd on a Friday night doesn't make the preacher preach any better. That still requires the power of the Spirit of God. And we ask that you would beseech the Lord on their behalf, that they'd be able to do so. And we ask that you would ask the Lord on for your own behalf, that we'd all be hearers and doers of the word. I'm going to ask Brother Paul Casey, if you would, to lead our hearts and minds in prayer, please.
Kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing and opportunity that we have. A few of our saints, O Lord, to meet together in this house, worship thee, sing praises. Lord, our hearts have already been stirred. We pray, O Lord, that thy people met for no other reason but to worship thee in spirit and truth. We're so encouraged, dear Heavenly Father, people that are here, especially young children. Pray, O Lord, that those things said tonight, most of all, will be glorifying to thee, uplifted to thy cause and kingdom. Each person tonight, grab a hold of something said, meditate upon it, think upon it. Lord, we just love thee. Lord, we love thee because thou first loved us. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you placed within us and our people. So good, dear Heavenly Father, for brethren to dwell together in unity. Lord, our people have been so dry and thirsty. Lord, we just pray for thy word showering down upon us. We pray for our land, country. Pray, O Lord, for the love and flow of the grace of grace. Pray, O Heavenly Father, for many parts of the country, dry, deep rain and water. Lord, we know that thou art the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes down from heaven. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, what we stand in need of. And Heavenly Father, as good news from our country, that the cool waters for the thirsty soul. We trust, O Lord, thy people are thirsty. Hungry tonight. David said, taste and see, Lord, is good. Ask, O Lord, that you be with these two brethren as they come before us, or many miles they travel, no doubt wondering what in the world can be tonight. Just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would open tonight the windows of heaven, pour down upon them and us thy word. Heavenly Father, that we might be strengthened and encouraged, in other words, that we might leave this place, O Lord, to feel like that you would continue to be with us, the undeserving that we are, that we know that we're so deep in sin, trouble because of it. Dear Lord, we just realize that without thee, we have no blessings. Ask, Lord, now that you be with these brethren, be with us. Ask, Lord, that you continue to be with those, maybe so much traveling to this meeting. Ask that you would give them traveling grace. Be with us, Lord, we leave this place, give us traveling grace. Be with those, oh Lord, that are sick and afflicted, that have on their mind and hearts to be here and can't be. Lord, there's so many blessings, so many things that we desire to ask for. Knowing, oh Heavenly Father, we know not how to begin to ask. Lord, we trust that we can't pray. The Spirit itself understands our groanings and groans within us. The words that are uttered. We pray, oh Lord, that the words will be uttered before thy throne. We realize, oh Lord, that we're so inadequate. Lord, where else will we turn? Thou hast told us that we might approach thy throne of grace, but we might find help. Lord, so many of thy people are troubled and distressed and cast down by thy throne. Ask, Lord, that you continue to lead, guide, guard, and direct us, not only this night, but the days to come. Lord, this is the earnest of our prayers. We look for a better and brighter day, but until that time, be with us in these seasons. Although they might be few, though they might be many, we have the reassurance of Heavenly Father that when we're done with the walk of this life, lay down in death. As long as we just sing. May, oh Heavenly Father, we look for our King Jesus to return in the cloud. All our bodies for the ground. We unite body, soul, and spirit together. Thee forevermore. All these favors and blessings we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Paul.
This truly is our first time to be here, but I am thankful my too expensive and highfalutin watch just told me that I'm sitting in the middle of a loud environment. I'm glad of that. I'm thankful to hear the singing like we heard tonight. More importantly, I'm thankful to have felt it. This is my personal opinion, that's all it's worth. But I don't care for timid singing. I don't care for timid preaching. I want to feel our religion.
Amen.
I want to feel our God. Thankful for that. One of the lines of the hymn we sung tonight has been a line that has stayed with me, I don't know how many years, I guess since the first time I sung the song. But it says, my heart can on this promise live, and on this promise die. Children of God, I am thankful that we can die by what we live by. I feel sorry for people that believe one thing in their life, and when it comes to death, they turn into primitive Baptists. The singing that we had tonight, again, I'm so thankful for. All the songs we sung. I dare not tell you how many times my mind has been changed tonight about what I might say, but I would ask that you pray for us. I want to read out of the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. And I beg the Lord will bless us whatever manner he sees fit. I don't know what time they lock the doors on this place. But and I know that y'all have invited Brother Danny, and I certainly do not want to get in his way, nor do I wish to deter his mind from what he has on his heart. But pray for us. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. There is more in these verses that I just read than what I can cover, even were I given an hour. But there is a thought in all this. I want to turn to the first psalm, if you would. It's not very long. But the word way has been on my mind. I'd like us to consider it for just a few moments. When we read the first and second psalm, it seems to me to be an opening summary of what the general overall context of the entire book of Psalms. It just seems to be, here's what Psalms is saying. This is generalities here. But in this first psalm, David opens by saying, blessed. What a wonderful condition to be in. To be in a blessed state by the hand of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away, worthless. Absolutely worthless. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't wish to spend a lot of time tonight about the ungodly. I wish to spend our time tonight thinking about the blessed, the righteous. I hope you understand this. You're Primitive Baptist, I'm a Primitive Baptist. We have not earned our righteousness. God has seen fit to instill upon us by the way of imputation His justification. That's a pronouncement. That's a declaration that we are in a condition that God has blessed. That we are made righteous. And that by the blood of the Son of God. But the way, children of God, is what I want to look at. I remember coming up on the grounds of an association years ago, and it was back in the day when we could tolerate the elements, and we were in an open tabernacle. I've acclimated air conditioning, let me tell you. But as I was walking up, I thought, these folks are not carrying a tune. I thought, they're singing them too fast. They're too high. What kind of state of mind was I in?
Right.
So I come in and I sat down in the seat of the scornful. Right. Wasn't long before I began to hear. Then I began to feel what they were singing. Wasn't long, I felt tears running down my face. Same people, same singers. What was the difference? My hard and cold and stony heart had been melted by the sounds of the singers of Zion. Because I could feel they were singing praises to their God. It was the way of righteousness. Now this way, children of God, is... we might consider it, I can see a way as being one of three things. There's more, I'm sure. Just what's on my mind. There's the way of thinking or doctrine. There's a way of direction. There was a way that we should take, and we follow the way. David said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That path is the way. The way we find our Savior at the end, and we keep our eyes right on. Straight ahead. We see our Lord there. And we find the blessings of His grace upon us as we walk. As we make our way through the storms of life and the stormy seas that would capsize us were it not for the faith that God has given us. Oh, children of God. When He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," He's talking about the direction in which His people follow. He's telling those that had gathered around and they had tasted of the excess that He had provided for them when they were gathered at the sea. They took up fragments and there was much left. And they had tasted those things, and they began to question Jesus. I'm moving ahead in this setting. But Jesus had appeared to them on the other side, where they thought they'd left Him on the other side of the sea. "How'd you get here, Jesus?" And he responded this way, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me." Now, he's not, let's just see what Savior says. "Ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." That begins to enlighten us a little bit about their condition of belief or unbelief. Then he goes on and says, "Don't labor for that meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." And then they said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" I don't understand the timing of that question. Where did you come up with that? Is that what Jesus was talking about? Where did your natural mind lead you? What was the path, the way you were following when you asked such a question as that? Jesus told them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Goes on and says, "Show us a sign, Lord." Jesus is losing them. Not that he was, I'm talking about conversationally. He's beginning to lose these people. They're not following what he's saying. Not that Jesus loses them, but they are taking their way of counsel of the ungodly. Our fathers did eat, I want us to notice this, our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. As it is written in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now Jesus' answer is this, it's peculiar if you think about it. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven." They didn't say anything about Moses. But he knew their thoughts, and they were thinking that Moses was responsible for the manna that was given to them in heaven. But Jesus is telling them, "This manna came from heaven that my Father gave, and I'm the real bread. I'm the bread that you should seek."
That's right.
"Lord, evermore give us this bread." I'm skipping a lot, but I'm... "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." What are they doing? They're following that way, that path that Jesus has given them to him. Now, this is not a gospel call. No, no. This is our Lord in his sovereign majesty bringing those into captivity that into himself, making them prisoners of Jesus Christ. Not binding themselves by the law of the land or the law of Moses, but following the loving law of God. This has been a mystery to me, but Jesus reduced the law to two commandments, and both of them involve love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The law. What has the law got to do with love? There's no mercy shown in the law. It doesn't give you any righteousness. It just condemns you because it marks iniquity. That's all it can do. But yet, Jesus said, all the law hangs on these two commandments. Love started the world. And love will bring it to an end in God's sovereign way and in his sovereign time. Love was what brought man into existence. And love has been shown to man since the beginning of time. I marvel about God's mercy and his love. Mercy is a stream of that love that God shows us. We find Adam in the Garden of Eden. He had done messed up. He had transgressed the law. I don't know how far in depth you thought about what Adam did. But I've tried to think about what Adam felt like at the time. This man that had, naturally speaking, you couldn't have it any better. Just couldn't have it any better. And here, he fell from that blessed state he was in, transgressed the law of God, and instead of just passing over this, may we think about what Adam was feeling like. I'm not asking you to find sympathy, but I'm also asking you not to do what a friend of mine said one time. His father died. His mother had already died, and he told his dad on his deathbed, "When you get to heaven, kiss mama for me and slap Adam." My friends, that's not what we're talking about here. But Adam had done something so heinous. Where was he and what had he plunged himself to? Do you think Adam didn't know the condition he had placed himself in? I use this illustration quite a bit about this. The responsibility we feel when we make a huge mistake. My son-in-law was telling me about a company that he knows of that is in the same business he's in. It's a high-dollar business. But someone in that company made a mistake of using the wrong word in a contract. That contract cost that company $70 million. 400 people lost their job. 400 lost their livelihood. Can you imagine what the man was feeling that put the wrong word in that contract? The third baseman that misses the ball that drops under his feet, goes skimming into outfield when this is the bottom of the ninth of the last game of the World Series, and gives the other team a chance and they go ahead and win. Imagine the weight and burden that man is feeling. Here's a man that God had blessed with to speak to God face to face. And now he's feeling something he hadn't felt before. He's feeling sin. It's flowing through his veins. He's thinking, "What have I done? All the misery, all the suffering, all the death in the world is because of that one sin." Right. Have you ever made a mistake that caused the death of other people? I pray I never do. I pray I never make that kind of mistake. Adam did. Not just himself, not just his wife, but all humanity that follows after him except for two. Even the Son of God tasted death for every man. Can you imagine what Adam is feeling like? "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" You think he wasn't wondering that? How am I going to escape this? God in his mercy shows up. And I don't think it took a few weeks for him to show up. I believe it was quickly, because I believe God knew man couldn't hold up under what the burden and weight of sin that he was feeling after this. What's he do? He asked Adam, he asked Eve. They respond in the natural way they would. and he goes to the serpent. He doesn't ask a question. He just begins condemning. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was condemnation to that old serpent. What was it to Adam and Eve? What was it to Adam? Because to him the law was given. He was responsible. What was Adam hearing here? He was hearing blessed hope. He was hearing somebody's going to come and fix the problem. We still die. Jesus has already died and come forth from the grave. We're still dying. But he didn't come to keep us from dying. He came to save us from death, staying dead. Now, Adam didn't know the name of Jesus at that time. You can't know the name of Jesus from that scripture. You have to follow the rest of consequential scriptures to understand who God was telling them about. Who was talking? The voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Who's the voice of God? I'll leave that to you to answer. I'll send someone, Adam. It's going to have to be a man because he's going to have to die. But a man left by himself, he cannot conquer Satan. He cannot subjugate Satan because he's a sinner. What he did was follow the temptations of the devil. So it's going to require divinity. A man to die, divinity to conquer. Children of God, we have that way in Jesus Christ. We have the one that has paid the price for us. We have the way, the truth, and the life. Then he says, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So someone might think, well, I'll go to the Father, and then I'll get to Christ. Well, what's he say in the 14th chapter? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where is man? He's left as a desolate state. Remember the word desolate in the 62nd chapter of Isaiah? He's left in a desolate state. He's completely impotent to do anything here. He can't go to Christ unless the Father's drawn him, and he can't go to the Father except through the Son. He's at an impassable gulf. It requires the Son to draw in loving kindness. It requires the one that gives us the pathway of life, the one that gives us that pathway of light, that light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I thank you for your time. God bless you, Brother Dan. You come ahead.
Oh, for a thousand times to see my great Redeemer's reign.
Good evening. Glad to be here. Certainly enjoyed that good song service. I'm not lying to you. I just want to sit there and listen to it and say, I give up my preaching. Y'all can just keep singing. If you have your Bibles, would you like to turn to Isaiah chapter 9? Please be praying for us this evening. And the Lord will continue to bless us, that we'll be able to glorify His sweet and holy name. And if the Lord will permit, that He'll bless us with the Spirit to edify, strengthen, and comfort us. You know, I wasn't able to go to the Rich Mountain Association this year and heard what a great meeting it was, and got to watch some of it on Facebook, which was marvelous. Enjoyed it so much. And one of the sermons I was watching that I was recommended to watch, and And the Lord was richly blessing the brother to preach, and the brother was saying really good things, and you could tell that he had studied the Word of God and applied himself. But I'm going to tell you, there was something happening at the place of that meeting that I wasn't able to feel and I wasn't able to receive through the Facebook. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, I was watching it and I was like, this is good to my ears and I can feel it here, but there is something going on that I'm not getting. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to get anything from our services tonight. That's got to happen. I'm going to tell you, it's got to be more than words for this to be preaching. The Lord God Himself has to come down from heaven. I beg you to pray that that will happen. And that we'll just not listen to me reading the words. We will feel our hearts burn as we try to look at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you, Isaiah chapter 9, we'll start off at verse 6. This is talking about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hundreds of years before our Lord was born, this is a prophecy about our Lord. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Us there means a particular group of people. This is the elect. This is the children of God. Do you want to know if you're one of those us's? The Bible says that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Somebody may say, well, we're all sinners, so did he come to save us all? Do you feel to be a sinner? You're an us.
Amen.
If you feel to be a sinner tonight, you are an us. The Bible says, he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Do you believe that there was a virgin that had a child and his name was Jesus and he died for your sins? Do you believe that?
Amen.
You are born of God. You are an us.
Amen.
For unto us a child is born. Amen. Unto us a son is given. And I'm going to say this in the most delicate way I can. Brothers and sisters, yes, all life is a gift. But I'm going to tell you, the birth of Jesus Christ was upon no action of man. The Lord Jesus appearing in Mary's womb was totally a gift of God.
Amen.
This has to be talking about Jesus.
Amen.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He's given, he's not offered, he's given. Tell you, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Psalm 111. The Lord has sent redemption unto his people.
That's right.
When the Lord sends something, it's sent. And you think about giving there. You think about that. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You think about what was given to us, for us to be in heaven. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus was given to us as a substitution for our sins. Amen? The Lord Jesus was given to us. He is our Savior. Amen? I'm going to tell you, Lord Jesus was given to us. He is our Redeemer. Go with me over to John 10 real quick. Over in John chapter 10, Lord Jesus Christ, in the 27th verse, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, it's very important. It's simple, but it's very important. It doesn't say that my sheep hear my word, hear my gospel. They hear my voice.
That's right.
And they follow me. Every child of God follows Jesus in two ways. The first one is in regeneration. The Lord says live and they live. I'm going to tell you the second one and the last one is when the Lord comes back and he says come forth, we're coming forth. Whenever he says arise my fair one, come away, guess what we're doing? We're coming away. And I'm going to tell you, whenever he said live and you live, you followed him passively in regeneration.
That's right.
I want to tell you, you know how John the Baptist was born again? Jesus Christ said, live.
That's right.
And that babe in his mama's womb came alive. I'm going to tell you, you know how we're going to heaven one day? Whenever we've been laying down, our bodies going to heaven, when we've been laying in that old grave, the Lord's going to come back and he's going to say, live. And we're going to live that body. That body's going to be glorified. That body's going to be incorruptible. Because if you start putting conditions like that, following me means they're all going to believe the gospel. Which gospel? Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, there's only one gospel.
That's right.
Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed unto another gospel, which be not another.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, he says, oh foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?
That's right.
Look, you believed in grace, now you believe in works. Somebody has bewitched you. Which gospel? If you're going to say it's the old Baptist gospel, I'm going to tell you, the Bible talks about God being the Lord of hosts. There ain't going to be a host up there.
That's right.
I mean, you understand what I'm saying? If you say everybody's got to believe the gospel, you're starting to limit how many people's going to be there.
That's right.
Brothers, just the following, the conditions put on a child of God are conditions that God meets. By him telling us to live, we live. Him coming back to get us, we're gone. But look what it says here in 28th verse. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, this is what I wanted to get to. My Father, which gave them me. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. My Father, which gave them me. You realize God gave us Jesus. He gave us Jesus as our Savior. He gave us Jesus as our Redeemer. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you are born again right now, it's because he has put Jesus in your heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the Bible says. Go back with me to Isaiah 9. Please pray for us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, not offered. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Wow, you know what that means? The word government there means empire, it means rule, it means dominion. You know what that means? This child that we're talking about, this child that's going to be born, this child that's going to be given to us, to a particular people, this child is going to have all power, all rule, all dominion. Jesus Christ says over in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, Jesus says over in John 17 that God the Father had given him power all over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to as many as he has given him. Brothers and sisters, this is a fundamental thing to understand, for you to understand about grace, truly salvation by the sovereign grace of God. You got to understand, God has all power. Jesus has all power.
Amen.
Look, and what I mean by that is kind of like this. I love telling this story. It makes me laugh. Brother Rick Hargrove tells a story of him preaching a funeral one time. And this sister came up to him and said, Brother Ricky, are you the same Brother Ricky that preaches on the radio over here up in da 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 da? And he said, yeah, that's me. And she said, I take it that you believe in salvation totally by the grace of God and election and predestination. He said, I sure do. And she said, I don't believe that. And he said, well, what do you believe? And she said, I believe God will take you to heaven if you let him. And she said, and he said, well, what happens if I don't let him? She said, then he'll send you to hell. And he said, uh-uh. And she said, why not? He said, I won't let him. I want you to get this. There's a gospel going out that God wants everybody into heaven, right? But you can keep him from sending you there. You got the power from keeping God from doing what he wants you to do. But he don't want to send you to hell, right? He don't. He's crying. He's begging you to put yourself in heaven. And he doesn't have the power to get you to heaven. He needs you to help him get you to heaven. You can negate him sending you to heaven, something that he wants to do. But you can't negate him from sending you to hell, something that he doesn't want you want to do. Are you getting my point?
Yeah.
Richard, if you got power over one thing, you got power over the other.
Right.
You see, what people don't understand, if you believe that God will send you to heaven if you let him, you believe that you have the government in this situation.
That's right.
Brothers, the government shall be, he has all rule. He has all power. I'm going to tell you, you need to put Isaiah 43 and 13 in your repertoire. Word for the day from Brother Dan. I will work. Not I will try.
That's right.
Not maybe. I will work. And who shall let it? That's Bible. He says, I'm God. I'm going to tell you, God is the only one who can say, I will.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times I say, I will, and I don't.
That's right.
But God says, I will. And who's going to keep me from doing it?
That's right.
Woo!
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, that's good stuff. You know what that is? That's the gospel. You know what the gospel message is? Isaiah 52 and 7. The glad tidings that we're supposed to be telling Zion, the church of God, thy God tries really hard. Thy God reigneth.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Thy God who loves you with an everlasting love.
That's right.
He has all power. He has all control. The government is upon his shoulders.
Right.
What hinders you from going to heaven if he wants you there?
That's right.
Not a thing.
That's right.
Brothers and sisters, this is, I'm going to tell you this, the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. There's a scene in the Bible in John 11. Jesus weeps. I just looked. Microphone's over there. I was preaching somewhere one time, and somebody was watching me on Facebook, and they said, you are a sound man's nightmare. Because I said, I was over here.
Don't worry about it.
But there's a scene in John chapter 11 where Jesus weeps at the grave of Lazarus. Now, I believe the Bible tells us why he wept. He was touched with the feelings of their infirmity.
That's right.
He's seen the sorrow of his little children. He's seen the sorrows of his brothers and sisters. He's seen the sorrows of his bride. And he was touched with their feelings of their infirmities, and he wept. And the Jews that were standing there said, I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, this is what the primitive Baptists, this is what the Church of Christ has been preaching since the church was the church. The Jews said, this man has had so much power that when blind people couldn't see, poof, they saw. When lepers wanted to be cleansed, poof, they're white as snow. When people couldn't walk, he grabbed their hand and they walked.
That's right.
When a guy couldn't hear, he stuck his fingers in his ears and he was able to see. Another guy couldn't see, he spit on some mud, put in his eyes, he was able to see. They're saying, this guy has all this power. And we see that he has this love.
Yeah.
Why did Lazarus die? And I want to tell you, that's the question I'll ask anybody who doesn't understand the truth. I'm going to tell you, God has the government upon his
Amen.
Shoulders.
Amen.
And he has an everlasting love. How in the world is somebody that he wants to be in heaven going to be in hell? It ain't happening. If you have the love, if he has the love and he has the power, nothing hinders him in that regard.
That's right. That's right.
For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Yay. I like that. Have y'all ever meditated upon that? Us preachers do that, right? But I mean, just read that verse. And it says that his name shall be called Wonderful. Have you just thought about why his name would be called Wonderful? I'm gonna tell you, this perfect one. This one who never sinned. You know who his friends were? Sinners. Whenever we think that we don't sin, you know what we do, Brother Travis? We sit in the seat of the scornful. Y'all read that. I'm going to tell you, I get convicted over that. I'm not going to preach to you. I'm going to preach to Brother Danny. It says, blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Brothers and sisters, I've noticed in my life, you know what blessed means? It means happy in the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I've noticed a lot of times in my life, the reason I don't have peace in the Lord, the reason I don't have joy in the Lord, the reason I'm not happy in the Lord, because I'm sitting on that big old seat. And I'm going to tell you that word scornful means to make mouth at. That's really what it means. It means to make mouths at, and it means to speak arrogantly and boastfully. And you're sitting in a seat and a throne like you're a king, and you're looking down at your subjects, and you're saying, they need to be like me. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever we talk about people and we say, well, we're not like that, or they're like this, we're saying they need to be like me. We need to be like Jesus. I'm going to tell you, whenever I find myself sitting at the seat of the scornful, I'm not blessed. I'm not happy. I'm not joyful. I'm bitter and I'm miserable. There's a lot of people going through a lot of pain because we are talking about one another and biting and devouring one another. That's the words of Paul. He doesn't call it venting. He doesn't call it being real. He calls it biting and devouring. Who's all done it? You ain't got a raise. Please don't. I have. You know, one thing about being a preacher, you can have confessional all day long. Get it off your chest. But what I want you to understand, you know what's wonderful about Jesus? He was perfect. He is perfect. Righteous. Holy. And he was a friend of sinners. That's beautiful because I'm a sinner. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, you just start thinking about Jesus. He was born of a virgin. He died and he rose again. He is sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us right now. We're able to pray to God in the name of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Jesus walked on this earth. He was all God and he was all man. That's wonderful. He was a friend of sinners, and not only that, he died so that we could go to heaven. I'm going to tell you, all God, all man, Jesus Christ, who is the life, he experienced death. Wow! That's just wonderful. Because he did it for you and he did it for me. Brothers and sisters, God is real. Have you felt him in song service? Do you get the Holy Ghost goosebumps? Have you felt anything through my preaching? I know I've seen it in your eyes. If you have, God, you understand God is real. Jesus is real. You're a real sinner. He's a real Savior. And you're going to heaven. That is wonderful. And his name should be called Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. I'll just end with this. And his name should be called Wonderful. Counselor. Y'all know what the word counselor means? It means to console and advise. That's good stuff. Because our God, our Savior, our Jesus, He is able to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He consoles, brothers and sisters. And we're able to talk to Him and say, Jesus, show me what to do. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I need strength. I don't know how to handle this. And I'm going to tell you, He consoles and He advises. Brothers and sisters, I just want you to think about this. His name is called Wonderful. His name is called Counselor. I'm going to tell you, I don't care how many years somebody went to school to be a counselor, how many initials they have after their name, there is still something about them that is inadequate. I'm going to tell you, our Counselor, Jesus Christ, some of the best news that you can hear about whenever it says that He shall be called Wonderful, He shall be called Counselor, He is the Mighty God. What better counselor could you look for?
Amen.
I'm not telling you not to go to counseling. I'm not telling you anything like that. Brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctors. But I'm telling you this. Whenever you're sick, take your medicine and I'll pray for you. And you pray for you. And I'm going to tell you, if you need counseling, you go to that one. But you don't forget about the true counselor, the mighty God, Jesus Christ. You need direction in your life. You need to know what job to take. You need help. You need to know who to marry. You need to know when to be patient. You need strength. You need joy. You need comfort. You need consoling. I'm going to tell you, the best counselor there is to get on your knees and say, Lord, I need help.
Amen.
Amen. He is your counselor. And He's the mighty God. Whenever you don't think you have a friend in the world,
that's right.
Whenever you think you don't have anybody to lean on, you got the only one that's worth leaning on. Our mighty God is our consoler and our advisor. He's our Savior. And He was given to us. And He's wonderful. I love you and God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you.
know verses don't matter, but a couple of quick reminders. First of all, we're thankful you're here. We hope everybody can come back in the morning. If you can't, Godspeed. We sure hope you can come back tomorrow. The world wouldn't agree with me about this, I'm pretty sure, but I'm sure heaven will agree with me on this. The best thing going on in the Little Rock area tomorrow is going to be right here.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that are going to see that differently. They're going to be traveling in the area for something else. So keep that in mind when it comes to traffic. And we may be battling some others for traffic for some of the events going on here in the Little Rock area. So keep that in mind. Try to leave early enough to get here. Had a good time. And so anyway, just keep that in mind. Coming here anyway. So be careful. Not everybody's going to be careful on the roads. Be careful with that. Please come back tomorrow. Does anybody not know where you're sleeping tonight? Anybody? I know nobody ever wants to be the one to raise their hand on that. But if that meets anybody's description, come see me or one of our deacons. So however, the Tanner will take care of that.
What time is church tomorrow?
Lord Little Church will start tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Did you get that right this evening?
Is that a problem?
No, not a problem. So Lord Little will start at 10 o'clock. Thank you for reminding me to make that announcement. For Rex, what announcement do you have?
Best thing going on next weekend.
Amen. That starts Friday morning?
Friday morning.
All right. 6 miles. Right. Thank you, Rex. What other announcements do y'all have?
Fourth weekend in October, Revelry Church and Magazine starts Friday morning. Brother Mark Morrow, Brother John Mizell.
Thank you, James. I highly recommend going and being there for that. Please do. Reveille folks are good to come visit here. Western Arkansas is wonderful to come visit here. My first annual meeting being here, I was overwhelmed. Just wow, those folks are wonderful to travel. Well, thank God for you doing that. Folks in Central Arkansas, we do that too. If you'll return the favor and go to those meetings over there. Who else? Who is somebody? All right.
Brother Gary?
Yes, sir.
We'll just take a second. Third weekend, Friday night, we're supposed to have Elder Larry Smith with us for our meeting in Cane Creek. And Saturday, it works out to our Saturday morning and afternoon. It'll be Friday night, all day Saturday, Cane Creek.
Thank you, brother.
Love to have you, Paul.
Well, we hope that Larry's going to be here tomorrow. So we'll be here tomorrow. Mark.
Get into next year, or well into the fourth weekend of January, Providence will have a meeting. Friday morning, it's in all day Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning, 11
o'clock. Anybody else? Are there any other announcements that I missed? Oh, y'all know I'm good at missing announcements. Anything else? All right. If nothing else, well, Justin Mark, would you just miss this?
Almighty God, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're so thankful that you have blessed us with this church, and thankful that you've blessed us with these men that come and speak with us and the gift that you've given them. And so thankful, Lord, that you've blessed us with your spirit being here with us. Lord, we pray for all of those that are traveling in and traveling out. We pray that the spirit be with us here again tomorrow, be with the brothers and sisters that are going to be here, and be with the men who are going to preach to us tomorrow. Lord, we're ever so grateful for your forgiveness. Lord, we often fail, and just pray, God, that we seek you, put God first in everything that we do, and when we do, be glorifying and honoring to each and every day. Lord, help us to do that. We pray for these things in Jesus' name.